Welcome back to the state tournament edition of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. Mike Hammond along with Burglar and Trasher as we get set for the state championship games on the boys and girls side. Some pretty good action today in semifinal stuff, and we'll start out with the girls side first. The Bay Area Ice Bears go out today and beat the Hayward Co-op, and the final score of that game was 2-1, and in a really a crazy game, Michael, because it seemed like Hayward had the lead for quite a while in this game, and but Bay Area was able to get two pucks somehow past Lauren Tremblay and were able to make it stand up.
Yeah, it seems like any time that a player is mentioned on Wisconsin Prep Hockey as doing this or doing that quite well, the next day or the next game something happens where they lose the game. I mean, not that Lauren Tremblay did not lose the game by any means. 2-1, she played awesome. Bay Area just punched a couple of nice goals, and they were very opportunistic. They had a nice backdoor pass. I think Abby Anderson scored that one, and then there was one where there was a rebound where the Megan Sari, I believe, was able to punch it in underneath the pads. I mean, unfortunate, but the jinx of WIPH, you know, player of the year, one day, and then the next day, she's the losing goalie in a heartbreaking, tough game for a bunch of seniors in that game, Burglar.
Yeah, it was a very good play. That the first goal, the first goal of Bay Area scored, nothing really that Lauren Tremblay could have done about that. It's a beautiful, a shot pass where Mia Dunning, you know, from her spotted on defense, you know, shot just a little bit wide of the net, and because she saw Abby Anderson standing there, she deflected it perfectly up into the corner. And then that second goal, Abby Anderson, they just threw it to the net, and Megan Sari, she told MJ, she didn't even really see the puck, but the whistle hadn't blown, so she was always, you know, told to just keep going for it, and she was digging, and, you know, Tremblay stopped the shot, but didn't have the puck secured, and it eventually ended up in the back of the net. Tough break for Hayward. They played a good game. The shots were fairly even in that game, and Bay Area advances, which is I get to watch Morgan Zirbel again.
Well, it had to be kind of frustrating for Hayward at the very end because, I mean, they're trying to get Lauren out of the game for an extra skater, and Bay Area kept the pressure up, kept the puck in the D zone down on the Hayward end, and they could never get her out. So, I mean, they didn't even have a chance for the extra attacker.
That's right. It was after Bay Area's second goal, Hayward really started putting pressure on. And Anna Holzbach, the Bay Area goal, did a nice job down there. Hayward was putting pressure on until it got about 2 minutes left. Bay Area got the puck down in the Hayward end, and Hayward was able to clear the zone a couple times, but they were never able to get the puck across the red line, and they were never able, for 2 minutes, Bay Area just kept the puck in their zone. They were never able to pull their goalie and get that extra attacker out there. Bay Area just kept the puck down there the whole time, and that's really frustrating for a team when you want to get the extra attacker, play your goalie, and you can't.
Yeah, I mean, we knew this was going to be a close game and figured on it being a low-scoring game, too. We had two of the game's best goalies in that, Holzbach and Tremblay. And, 2-1, yeah, that's about right. It was a defensive, hard-fought battle the whole way. And honestly, I think you could have flipped a coin to determine the winner of this game. They're both going to bring their A games. It just depended on who brought their A-plus game, and today Bay Area did that.
Let's move on to the girls' second game, the second semifinal, featuring the Central Wisconsin Storm taking on the Sun Prairie Co-op Cougars in game two. And in that game, it was only a 1-0 game all the way through, and they make it stand up. Was it Maggie Plaza
scored the goal in the second period, and that held up the rest of the way. And honestly, I think this game really surprised me because all you heard coming in, well, not from everybody, but most people, Central Wisconsin, Central Wisconsin, Central Wisconsin. Cap City played a hell of a game. I mean, they really fought hard. And the Storm, I mean, they earned that win. They worked their butts off to get that, and I'm sure they're happy to move on after that one.
You know, as that game went on and on with Central Wisconsin having just a 1-0 lead, you think about it a little bit, all of a sudden a team like the Cap City Cougars becomes a very dangerous team because they're one bounce of the puck away from tying this game. And near the end of the game, we saw that the puck just went skidding by the post in the last second, and they were right there. But this game, I totally agree with you, Michael, this one was a surprise because a lot of people thought, including myself, that the Storm was just going to roll in this one. But, you know, everybody thought that except the Cap City Cougars, and they stayed with it and almost were able to get that game to overtime.
Well, yeah, that's, in fact, anybody who listens to us, and again, I don't know why they would, but people who listen to us, I mean, what did they hear? 6-1, 5-2. I think one of our brilliant commentators said, well, you know, the Storm will score as many goals as they want to. I think the only one who, he wasn't on our with us last night, but the only one who actually gave the Cap City Cougars, Denny Krugers, a chance was Dell, who is, of course, the most knowledgeable about, you know, of us about the girls game. He's our primary, you know, girls hockey editor. And yeah, he wasn't with us last night. He'd have probably talked some sense into us. You know, mentioned the fact that, you know, they don't lose by big margins. They've got a better team than that. But yeah, we kind of looked silly on that one. They played a very good game today and had a chance right up until the end.
Well, the thing that we maybe forgot or didn't know, I mean, I realized this because I had done a lot with the records and stuff, but I believe Coach Thornton said they were like 14-1-1 in their last 16 games. And if you really think about it, I mean, it takes a lot of skill and it even takes some luck to have a record like that over a 15-16 game stretch. So, you know, they played well. They got breaks when they needed to. Today, you know, you wonder, was Jada Ward at 100%? I don't think so. And would that have made a difference? It could have. But it was a great game. It was a very well-played game from both sides. Defensive-minded game. In my mind, nobody really got inside that much other than the two opportunities. Oh, that was the other game. It got inside to get a good shot. You know, it was a lot from the outside, or they pushed them out and just kept the score down.
Right, and if you and the last time these two teams played, Central Wisconsin put 40 some shots on them, and if you look at the official stats here, the shots were 20-11, and we've talked about this, well, the entire tournament, that the people counting the shots need to be replaced. I have no idea what they consider a shot on goal. There were games today where it's just the period would end, there was just action up and down the ice, and it was like three shots each for the period. It's like, what game are you watching? I mean, and this yeah, the shots 20-11. Yes, that is the official. That is the official stats for the game. That is not the game that was played.
I would agree with you on that one. I don't know where exactly they come up with those numbers, but that wasn't close. And yeah, it was one of those games where the Cougars almost had to play a perfect game. And give Taylor Thornton a lot of credit, the netminder for the Cap City Cougars. She was fantastic today. She played her heart out. And, you know, yeah, they came up a little bit short, but it wasn't much to her doing because she was fantastic today.
And they said she had 19 saves. I think she had way more than 19. I agree. She played an awesome game today.
Well, it was a typical Central Wisconsin Storm game when you think about it. Don't let nothing get to the net. And that's pretty much what they did. And that's how they were able to get the 1-0 win. So now the Storm move on to play the Bay Area Ice Bears tomorrow at noon for the state championship. And I honestly, guys, I think this is probably going to be another low-scoring game.
They played each other, correct?
Yes.
And the Storm has won?
I do not remember the results.
Oh, okay. You know a website that has it.
You guys stall. You guys stall while I go pull this up.
Okay, can we do a quick rap song?
No.
I'll tell you though, Michael, the Cap City Cougars, though, give them a lot of credit because a lot of people write them off as a one and done. Well, it happened that way, but boy, I mean, it took double zeros on the clock for them to be that way. And, you know, the Storm only got one goal. And if you hold the Storm to one goal, your chances are pretty good you're going to be in that game. And that's the way it was for the Cougars. And had chances, especially in the final seconds, to tie it up. But that puck just went wide of that post.
Oh, I know. The Storm goalie, Chloe Westberg, she was on her back, scrambling, making stick saves, pad saves. Seemed like she had all 11 of her saves right in the last 5 seconds of play because they were going crazy down at that end. And when the horn finally sounded, I mean, there was a big sigh of relief for everybody in that Storm uniform for sure.
You turned it off? Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, they did play. And they tied 1-1, which sounds like they're evenly matched teams. The shots in that game were 43-6. And that was not the Alliant Energy Center crew counting the shots. These were people probably actually know a little something, know how to watch hockey game and count shots. 43-6, tied 1-1.
And who had 43?
That would be the Storm. That would be Anna Holzbach had 42 saves.
Come to think of it, I believe I was at that game.
I don't remember how that one went. Oh, yeah, I was there. Yeah, it's been a long season, yes.
30 games in your season, they all kind of run into each other. But, yeah, okay, so for tomorrow's game, I don't know. This is going to be a different game because they got there was three players that they were missing, and I think Zirbel was one of them in that game. Now I think they're all back at full strength, so I think this could be a different game. But that said, you know, all things being equal, I think that Bay Area has the edge in goaltending. Holzbach has just had an unbelievable season. Whether she gets 10 shots on her or 40 shots on her, Chloe Westberg has done a nice job, but she hasn't been tested a lot. I think we had a stat where she's only faced 20 or more shots like 4 or 5 times this year. So what's going to happen if she gets tested a little bit? If she plays like she did today, I'd say no worries for the Storm because she played very well, and when it came right down to it, she kept the puck out of the net. Offensively, I think the Storm has a little bit of an edge. So, I mean, who knows? It's going to be a low-scoring one-goal game, I'm pretty sure of that. Let's say 2-1, and the team that wins is going to be the one that scores the most goals.
He's not taking a chance at all, is he?
He's not.
Well, I will take a chance. I will say I'm going to go, and I know our predictions we had earlier, but since these teams fall, I will go with Bay Area in this one. I just have a feeling the Ice Bears are ready to get this done. And the Storm, they're a great team, but, you know, these teams are so ungodly close, and especially at this level of the season. And I'm just going to go out on a limb. I'm just going to go ahead and pick Bay Area.
Well, I think, yeah, this game is also a toss-up, but I'm not going to, you know, chicken out like Trasher. and I'm also not going to agree with you. I'm going to take Central Wisconsin in this one, and it's going to be because of the coaching, but it's not the head coach, and it's not, you know, Steve Brown, his longtime assistant coach. It's because of the fantastic coaching of Gunner, you know, the other assistant coach who skates with us on Sunday nights. He's going to work his Gunner magic, and he's going to pull Central Wisconsin through tomorrow.
Okay, since I have to kind of take away my chicken status, I believe last night or the night before, I said the Storm was going to win with Pete Susan's hoisting another state championship, this time on the girls' side, and I'll stick with that. 2-1, Storm.
Well, we will find out tomorrow. That game is at 12 noon on Saturday. And, of course, we'll have all the reaction and things like that and stats right here on Wisconsin Prep Hockey. Let's go to the boys' side. Earlier tonight, Waukesha, again, goes to overtime. Give up a 3-goal lead in the third period, but they come back in overtime and get the 5-4 win over a Sun Prairie team that just would not quit. And, Michael, Sun Prairie worked very hard. They got some momentum late in the game. They got the goalie pulled. They got it tied. And even had chances, some really quality chances in overtime. But coming back the other way, the Wings were able to get one on Sam Dunn, who played a very good game. And it just so happens that Waukesha is going to play for their first state championship.
This was definitely a strange game. Sun Prairie scored just 2 minutes into the game. And I think in our thing last time, we pretty much handed this to Waukesha and didn't give Sun Prairie much of a chance. They played even with Waukesha. They battled even through the first period. That early goal seemed to give Sun Prairie life. And then all of a sudden in the second period, it's like they were done. It's like they were slow. They couldn't get to the puck, and Waukesha just had their way with them. Waukesha scored three unanswered goals in that second period, and the shots, you know, as officially recorded,
21-2.
Were 21-2 in that period, and that may actually be one of the more accurate counts on the tournament so far. Waukesha has totally dominated, and it started, the third period started that way also, to the point that, you know, 5 minutes into the third period, Waukesha scored their fourth goal, and, you know, somebody said, their best Wayne Laramie imitation, you know, there's your dagger, you know, all of a sudden it's 4-1, and, you know, it was a glorious slap shot by Ian Malcolmson that just... Oh. It was just beautiful. Well, one-timer, he was right in the spot, and he just let it go. And it was just like a statement, like, yeah, there we go. You guys are done. Put a fork in it. You know, and so it's 4-1 at that point, and you think it's all over. And, you know, Sun Prairie scores, you know, at 7 minutes in and then gets two goals in the last, you know, 2 minutes and, you know, ties the game up and sends it to overtime. It's like, they played the last half of the third period like they did the first period. Absolutely. But they took the second period and the first half of the third period off. And I just can't figure that out. But, I mean, all of a sudden, they're back and they're controlling play and they're dominating action like they did in the first. It was a strange game.
Thought Sun Prairie played with some desperation when they were down 4-1. I mean, facing them, they were down 4-1. After that Malcolmson goal, he just buried that one on Sam Dunn. You're absolutely right. What a shot. And, you know, you figure they're done, but Sun Prairie, they got a bounce. They got one to go in on Garrett Larson. And then all of a sudden, game on. I mean, a 2-goal lead, we know how those can evaporate quick in the third period. Well, that's what happened, is Sun Prairie came back and tied that game and with seconds left and to force overtime. And give the kids some Sun Prairie credit. They worked hard, and they didn't give up. And Chris Finkler and his staff, you got to give them credit, too, because they had to get that team up to play and stay keep their heads in the game when it wasn't looking very good.
Well, number 16 for Sun Prairie, I can't remember his name.
Kyle Hageman.
I mean, he took the game into his own hands there in the last couple minutes. He scored on the one where he came down the left side, got down to the bottom of the circle, and went over, I don't know how the heck he did it, over the shoulder and under the bar. There wasn't much to shoot at, but he put it there. And then a couple minutes later, he was, I believe, over on the other side and scored from the back door. And then, I don't know, the end of the game was really weird because I think that third goal was scored at with like 2:46 left, and then they played, and then they scored another goal to tie it, and then they had a clock malfunction apparently. And it was
it wasn't a clock malfunction.
They didn't
it was
start
a clock operator malfunction. The right. Same people calling the stats,
so this,
calling the shots.
That's 27 seconds. I mean, yeah, it could have affected the game, but I mean, we can't have stuff like that. And there was a lot of confusion, kind of took away from the continuity and flow of the game. And, okay, so we go to overtime, and it looks like the way they were playing, they were going to play more than one. And then finally, Garrett Wilderman got the puck, beat the Sun Prairie defenseman to it, and went in and made a deke and buried it for the 5-4 overtime game winner. I mean, but just, you're right, it was a strange game. There was a lot of back and forth. But I guess the one good thing is that it seemed like every time a team was up against some adversity, they responded. Waukesha was down 1-0. It looked like Sun Prairie was going to maybe add to it. They scored 3. Then they score another one, and then all of a sudden it's Sun Prairie's turn. They come back and tie the game when you would have never guessed it. So a strange game, but you saw some good character by both teams in that one.
Oh, it was a very fun game. Great game to call. We did that one because neither one of those teams has a radio station that covers them. But it was much fun. And, and Garrett Larson, just before in the overtime, just before Waukesha came down and scored, he made a couple of fantastic saves on the other end of the ice that, by rights, it looked like Sun Prairie was going to win that game.
Number 17 coming down.
Well, that was the third one, but there were two before that where there was a pass out front into the slot and a shot and then a rebound where, you know, he kind of got lucky. The first one hit his shoulder and then the rebound came back and then it looked like it was going to the corner. He just flashed that pad out there and stopped it. Then it got kicked out into the slot and 17 was there all along, you know, walking in, and he picked a corner and, you know, Larson with the glove, you know, went up and grabbed it and got the face-off, and the face-off, you know, that's what led to the goal there. But, yeah, he saved it on that end.
So, normally, in a game where there was a combined 9 goals scored, you wouldn't say the goalies played great, but I think both goalies played great.
Well, I think both offenses were very much opportunistic in that game. And once you did see the one, the second goal for Sun Prairie to make it 4-2, it hit off of Larson's pad. He thought he had it, and it hit off his pad, and it just rolled into the net. So an opportunity there, and Sun Prairie just brought it in the third period. I mean, they worked hard to get that game 4-3. They worked even harder to get it tied up. And overtime, there was for a while, I really thought Sun Prairie was going to win this game. Somehow, some way, they were going to grind it out. But in the end, they popped Wyatt out of the zone. Wyatt Wilderman, the brother Garrett, who's only a freshman. And I don't know about you guys, but I am impressed with Garrett Wilderman. As a freshman, he's playing more like a junior or a senior, and he's getting some big minutes. He is able to beat the defenseman to the puck, able to just get it past Sam Dunn. And Sam, you know, played probably as best as he could, and just like that, it was a 5-4 overtime win. Honestly, guys, I would have expected this out of the second game to be this close, but that wasn't the case.
The second game.
We're moving on to...
This was close. This was a... No, this wasn't close. Never mind. I forget. Because I'm old. Yes. Hudson and Wausau West. It was a strange game too. Hudson scored, you know, two goals in less than a minute apart, you know, in the first period. In the first goal, they actually, you know, set up and earned the second, and then just less than a minute later, just a pass from behind the net out to the front hits off the shin pad of one of the Wausau West defensemen and bounces in. And just like that, you know, Hudson is up 2-0 in a game that had been fairly even. And, you know, there was no more scoring going on. Both goalies played very well. Wausau had some glorious chances. They just could not get the puck in the net. They had, it was like like the old Mike Richter commercial where he's got the plexiglass in front of the net. I mean, the puck was there, just would not go across that line. And you know, Anthony Howard, he made some saves, and his defenseman saved him several times. Wausau West just could not get that puck across the net or across the goal line.
Yeah, I was standing up in the nosebleed section, and the Wausau West girl managers were up there, and I thought they were going to die. It seemed like every time they turned around, the puck was in the blue paint down in front of Howard, and they just could not get it in.
You know, watching Hudson for the first time, this is the first time I've seen them all season. I'll tell you what, I am impressed by Aaron Grounds. He's only a junior. Boy, I'll tell you what, watching him, he can be pretty dominant.
Well, we talked to Onalaska coach Tim Ebner between games, and he says that he thinks Grounds is possibly, arguably, I'll use my term again, the best forward in the state. If not this year, next year for sure. I mean, he's going to be a senior, and he'll be a definite player of the year finalist. He's very talented, and then we have to also talk about Burglar's boy, number 5, Chase Blackman. Segue to Burglar.
Chase Blackman just does so many things well out on the ice. He controls play. He had a couple of assists tonight. One assist tonight. A couple of assists yesterday. He moves the puck so well. I mean, he handles it himself. He sets up his players. He and the other player of the year candidate in this tournament, Ian Malcolmson. Malcolmson didn't necessarily do a whole lot to this, you know, to set himself apart, you know, Thursday night, but today he had a whale of a game, and he was setting guys up. He was making passes. He was making plays. Same thing that Blackman does. These guys are just, I mean, they, like I said, they make everybody else around them better because they are so unselfish with the puck. They're not just thinking, I'm going to go down and score a goal. They're thinking, I'm going to take the puck down there and I'm going to look around and I'm going to see who has the best opportunity to score a goal. I'm going to give him the puck and he's going to put it in. And that's the kind of team they have. That's the kind of players they are. And it was just, it's fun to watch guys like that play hockey.
Well, when you watch that game, Blackman is a dominant defenseman. The one thing that had me concerned, though, is in that game, how many times Blackman was in the box? It was 3 times. And those are 3 power plays that Wausau West did not capitalize on.
I think they had a couple guys with 3 penalties. They must have had about 8 or 9 at least the whole game. And it's like, I almost felt like Hudson felt better playing on the penalty kill. I mean, they don't have a problem with it. They get a penalty, it's like, no big deal. We'll kill it, and we'll go on, and then we'll just continue to play our aggressive brand of hockey. They definitely, you know, are feisty out there and willing to be physical.
Well, this was the first game. I've seen this happen in other tournament games down here. I mean, you have officials down here, you know, they're ranked throughout the season. They earn the chance to come down here, and then every once in a while you get guys that feel like, well, you know, I'm one of the best officials. I've earned my, you know, I'm going to call this game. You know, I think these guys went overboard with their penalty today. There was a lot of stuff called that did not have to be called. I've officiated. I mean, there are a lot of penalties that are, you know, black and white. Everybody can see it, you know, and there are other penalties where, you know, there's a huge gray area, and they were calling all of the gray area stuff. I mean, when you get elbowing calls are generally, you know, discretionary type calls, and There was a beautiful hit that actually was right before one of the was a power play that Hudson scored on. It's just a very nice check, but Elbowin was called on because he hit the guy a little too hard. You know, I thought. I mean, we had a lot of guys in penalty trouble. There were you only allowed four penalties, and we had three guys in the game that already had three, and this was not a dirty game. This was not a chippy game that was like that. It was just, I think, the officiating a little overzealous in their penalty calling.
I would agree with that to a point.
There was one play down on the opposite end from where I was, and there was a pretty big hit, and I don't remember who hit who, and nothing was called. And then about 3 seconds later in the opposite corner, it was almost like a guy tripped and fell, and they called a penalty. It's like, you missed that one, but you called that one. I mean, I don't know. But either way, let's forget about that part of it. But I think Hudson just seemed comfortable playing on the kill. They played their four guys out there, and they killed off the penalties. It was no big deal. So you have some teams that really struggle with it. These guys don't.
They don't, and well, let's then move on to tomorrow. Hudson and Waukesha. And I'm going to tell you what I think is the key to the game between Hudson and Waukesha isn't necessarily what's going to happen tomorrow. It's what's happened today and yesterday. In that Waukesha basically running three lines, but their third line only skates like one or two shifts per period. And Hudson is rolling
19 players.
19 players. They're rolling four lines, they're rolling three sets of D. And we saw this happen last year. It seems like Hudson gets stronger as the tournament goes on. That's not necessarily the case. They just don't wither like other teams do, because it's very rare in high school hockey that you play a game 3 days in a row. It just doesn't happen. And other teams, wither. And I think, although we said this last year too, that's why Hudson was going to beat Appleton, because Hudson was rolling four lines and Appleton wasn't. But in this case, I really think that the big key is that Hudson is going to be much fresher, have more legs than Waukesha will tomorrow.
Well, I think tomorrow's game is going to feature three of the most magical players in the state this year: Aaron Grounds, Ian Malcolmson, Chase Blackman. All great players. This is going to be an exciting game. And I agree with you, Burglar. I mean, we've talked about this before. Your team that doesn't play all the lines has a tendency to wear down in the second, late in the second, early in the third, and then that's where the other team can capitalize. And, we've been wrong before. We can say this all we want. I mean, Waukesha could come out and score four goals in the first period and lock down and win the game. Or, maybe Hudson will bury him in the third period. We don't know.
I think defensively, I don't know if Waukesha has enough defensively to shut down a team in a game. I don't know if they have that, but I know that Hudson does. And that's where I think it's going to be key, is how does Hudson shut down that offense? Because Hudson, for the most part, are probably going to score a goal or two. But can Waukesha shut down Hudson long enough, though, for their offense, the Waukesha offense, to get going, which, as you said, is two lines. And that's, you've got two games, and you've played overtime, and you've played more minutes than the other team. And, how much is left in the tank for Waukesha?
Right. And I think if Waukesha plays tomorrow like they did today, it'll be a close game. I don't know if they have enough to win a state title playing against Hudson. And if they don't play like they did today, then it could be I don't know. It could be a 3-4 goal win for Hudson. I agree with you, MJ. I'm not sure that Waukesha has the overall defensive strength to lock Hudson down, but with Blackman and Gornick on the blue line for Hudson, Malcolmson could be in for a long day, and he's going to probably log a lot of minutes. They're going to have to try to ride him and hope like heck that he gets the job done.
I hate to say it again, but I have to agree with MJ. You know it pains me to say that, but yes.
What was that?
Yes, I have to agree with MJ.
One more time, what was that?
I must agree with MJ. In the Sun Prairie versus Waukesha game, we had two very good goaltenders playing, and they gave up a lot of goals because the defense wasn't all that sound. Their defense just gave up too many good chances. And I think that's going to be another key in the game is that Waukesha's defense gives up chances. Hudson doesn't. They don't give up those kind of opportunities. You don't get those chances like you do in the other game.
Well, we could argue that point when late in the game it seemed like the puck was in the house down on the Hudson end the last 2 minutes of play. There were a lot of chances for West, and with a little luck and some good goaltending, they kept it out of the net. But overall, yes, I would agree with you 100%.
I think. No, but by agreeing with me, you're agreeing with MJ.
Wow, I got you both.
So I agreed with MJ, and you agreed with me. Where's Dell?
That's bad.
Somebody's got to talk.
Well, one of the things though about Waukesha, Ben Shepherd, I thought really played well today. I thought he played much better than he played yesterday. I still have concerns about Waukesha's depth on the blue line, and I think that's where it can be very key. Hudson is fast. They are very fast. I mean, they had no problem keeping up with Wausau West. You guys were all along saying Wausau West were one of the fastest teams in the state. Well, you know, Hudson was able to keep up with them. Now, can Waukesha keep up with Hudson on the blue line? That remains to be seen, and I think that's where Hudson does have an advantage.
Well,
agree with me.
Hudson does have an advantage, and some might argue an unfair advantage, as their basically their defensive coach is a fellow by the name of Davis Drewiski, who's had a little NHL experience. So he imparts some of his knowledge onto his players, and that makes them that much better. And, I mean, granted, they have their own natural ability, but I'm sure the coaching helps out a little bit, too.
Okay, just remember, as we say all the time, all predictions guaranteed to be wrong. If not, send your email to Trasher@WisconsinPrepHockey.net.
I don't know how anybody could hate Trasher. I mean, he just agreed with me. I think that's wonderful.
And I know, and I'm dressed up like a lumberjack today, so what the hell.
Okay, final picks.
I think we did.
One word. Who do you got?
Hudson.
I'm going with Hudson. I think they...
One word I said.
Hudson.
I'm going to pick Hudson as well.
That's not one word.
Hudson. But I also believe that Waukesha's had a very, very nice run. I don't know if they've got enough to get past Waukesha.
Is this our last show of the weekend?
I believe it is.
Well, let's not end it here. Let's just talk for a few more minutes about some of the performances we've seen thus far. I mean, we've talked about these players and stuff. We saw West Salem come down here. This was their first trip to the state tournament. And I'd just like to give a shout out to our buddy Eric Borey. I think he did a great job getting the squad here. And yes, he's not happy with the results in that 7-0 game against West, but realistically, it was probably more like a 4 or 5 goal game because he played a bunch of his younger kids in order to give them some ice time at state. How cool is that? You know, not every coach would do that. I think they did a great job in getting here. They repped Section 4 very well, and I think they'll do well in the future.
Yeah, and we wanted to have him do an interview because, you know, first time coach down here and stuff and wanted to do it. But, you know, MJ said, no, they lost. I don't want to talk to him.
I did not say that.
And that was the end of it. I mean, we wanted to do an interview with him, but MJ said, no, he's a loser. No. I don't want to talk to him.
Burglar, you are the biggest lying POS there is.
All right,
I love Eric Borey. I really do. Did you notice he had his guys? They lost yesterday, but they were there watching both games tonight, and that's kind of pretty classy to see.
He said he wanted to have them soak in the experience, see what it was all about, have some fun, learn what they need to do.
We could have heard all that during an interview, but MJ didn't want to talk to him.
Well, we had a pretty busy schedule today. We have to admit that. He did a bang-up job of interviewing the whole different bunch of people. So, MJ, who impressed you down here? What did you see that kind of stood out?
Watching all these kids play, I was very, very impressed with Aaron Grounds. I had heard the name before, but just watching him the last couple days, I mean, he can be a dominant player, no doubt about it. And he's one of those kids that I would imagine there's probably a few college teams that probably got a radar on him because I think he could play, be a D1 player. Junior, so he's got another year. I'm sure he's a TW player. And, you know, we'll see where he goes. But like I said, first time for me seeing him, I'm very impressed.
Now, over the past several years, Eau Claire Memorial has been a perennial visitor down here. Do we think the torch in the western part of the state is getting passed over to the Hudson Raiders? Burglar?
Well, I mean, Hudson has... We've seen this from Hudson before. Hudson seems to go in streaks. You know, they were good for a several years span.
In the early 2000s, they won two titles.
Yep, and you know, and now they are again. Eau Claire Memorial seems to be there consistently.
Yeah.
They're not all. I mean, this year they weren't necessarily as strong as they have been in years past. You know, part of that, you know. Probably who would have been their best player this year, you know, Ty Emberson, playing for the National Development Team.
Can't fault him.
You can't fault him for doing that, you know. It's your that's what you strive for. I mean, they're not quite as strong as they have been in the past, but they're always going to be up there. Hudson, you know, a smaller community, it's going to go in streaks. Yeah, right now it seems to be in their favor, but you don't know how long that's going to last.
One of the things about that, Bill, that's a border town with the cities, and you don't think those kids will go over there and get some experience over there in Twin Cities? I would bet that that's probably a safe bet to make. Eau Claire Memorial, you know what I always find interesting is this time of year, watch the Waha playoffs. Watch the Bantam A, Bantam B. See who's winning state games. Then you kind of get a little gauge on, you know, who's got a good team coming back. I mean, Eau Claire Memorial, for a number of years there, was state champions at quite a few levels. And for the last couple of years, you're seeing not as many. But, you know, they're still a good squad. They got fantastic coaching. And their feeder program is very good. Just that Hudson has a dynamic class coming through right now.
Oh, yes, and we did the sectional final game over in Hudson, and we looked at the banners there, and they did have Bantam championship banners up for, I think, last year and the year before. So, yeah, they're going to be good for a couple of years yet.
Well, and we all know that doesn't necessarily translate to success at the high school level, but it doesn't hurt.
It doesn't translate because you still got to go through all the things that go along with it. You never know who's going to show up at your first practice. But, you know, you get a pretty good idea of who's going to be good, who's got a chance to be a good team the next couple of years. And, you know, as you said, Bill, that Hudson's got a couple Bantam banners hanging there, and that's a pretty good indication you got some kind of good talent coming.
It is. And getting back to the other – thing that you started this whole thing about before, you know, we all go go off on Hudson. You know, who impressed me at this state tournament. And I've seen him play a couple times. I saw him last year and was really impressed last year. And a couple times I saw him play this year, the teams held him in check. But today, Ian Malcolmson came to play.
Oh, did he?
Ian Malcolmson was a force on the ice. He was doing things himself. He was setting guys up. He was the player of the year this year. He definitely earned his title. He had a great game today.
Let's also give a shout out to Bayport. The Pirates made their first state appearance this year. They had a great, some might say scintillating, run, winning 4 playoff games to get here, including beating Nina Hortonville Menasha in the sectional final, a pressure-packed game that they won. They didn't win their first game at state, but they made it this far. They had a hell of a run, and I'd just like to tell the Pirates, you guys did good, and we'll probably see you back again soon.
Now, the Pirates did have a very nice run. When you beat the last seed, and then you beat 3-2-1 to get to state, that speaks volumes of what they did there, and definitely nothing to be disappointed in. But, you know, guys, as I was mentioning to Roger Aylesworth tonight, you think about it, you look at the Waukesha roster, 3 seniors this year, although, you know, 2 of those seniors are pretty important ones. And but they are, for the next couple of years, they've got some really good talent coming out of the Waukesha area.
Well, when you see the freshmen out on the big stage under the bright spotlight performing like Wilderman did, speaks volumes for what your program is going to look like in the next couple of years.
They've got a very good sophomore class, and they're getting the experience at state, so we'll see where it goes. So, gentlemen, that's our predictions. Anybody else got anything they want to finish up on?
I'm good. I'd just like to say thanks to everybody for watching us in social media, listening to the webcast if you couldn't catch a game, and listening to the podcast. Without you, we wouldn't be here.
All right. Thank you very much, Sulfur Trasher, Burglar. I'm Mike Hammond. Hey, good luck to both teams. We'll see you next time on This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey.